Welcome to today's quarterly All Employment Network call. My name is Derek Shields, and I'll be serving as today's moderator. Before we begin with today's presentations, I'll cover some housekeeping logistics and our agenda. Next slide, please. Okay, here's some key points to consider and a few reminders for some of you of how to make the most out of today's session. First, per the ticket program agreement, Part 3, Section 11, Subsection I, EN staff are not permitted to record this meeting nor capture the transcript. It's important to know that an all EN call recap will be provided along with the transcript after the call, and this will be posted to the Your Ticket to Work website. Next, for questions, please feel free to ask using the MS Teams chat section. If joining via phone and you wish to ask a question, there's a two-step process. First, raise your hand using star 5, and then you will be unmuted. After that, you need to press star 6 to speak. We do ask you to limit your questions to one per person, and you are able to also use your raise hand option with MS Teams. If you do have additional questions or calling in by phone and prefer, you can also contact us at enoperations@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Those questions not answered during the live event will be forwarded to the appropriate individuals for a response. Also, for closed captioning, it is available today for participants. If you join via MS Teams and prefer to use automated closed captions, you can access those by going to the three ellipses in the menu bar at the top of MS Teams, click on More, scroll down the list to Language and Speech, and then click on Turn on Live Captions. When using the other option, the link that's provided to you via chat, paste that link in browser of your choice and open a separate window to view closed captioning. We do look forward to your participation and as many questions as you have today. I'll repeat these tips for engagement during each Q&A portion, of which we will have two today. Next slide, please. All right, now that the logistics are covered, let's go over today's agenda. As I mentioned, I'll serve as the moderator, and after reviewing the agenda, we'll provide a few welcoming remarks to our new employment networks. Then I'll introduce Renee Moore, who will have a presentation on the SSI Transition Age Youth website. Following Danielle Wahonik will provide a presentation on a work incentive, the Student Earned Income Exclusion. After that, we'll have our first Q&A session. Then we'll have Aaron Weidman cover some EN updates and reminders. And then we'll have Anna Morales provide EN operations updates and a reminder, followed by some communications and outreach updates from Jamie Pendergraf. We'll close that out with a second Q&A session, and we'll do all this in 90 minutes. Let's now move to our next slide, please. As I mentioned, before we begin with our presenters today, we'd like to take a moment and welcome the new employment networks that have joined the program. For this call, we'll welcome four new networks. We have Brown & Brown Absent Service Group. They're in Florida. We also have Open Heart Behavior Services out of Colorado, followed by Cornerstone Youth in Washington State. And the fourth new EN is Delicate Motives Business Education Employment Services from Pennsylvania. So we welcome these employment networks and their team members into the ticket program community and look forward to the work that you'll do to support ticket holders on their journey to employment and self-sufficiency. Next slide, please. It's now time to introduce our first presenter, Renee Moore. Renee is a policy analyst and will cover the Office of Employment Support's SSI Transition Age Youth website. Renee, over to you.
Thank you, Derek. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Renee with the Office of Employment Support, here to share our SSI Transition Aged Youth website. Now, you may be wondering why we're sharing youth information with you, because your service starts for individuals that are 18 years old or older. Well, the information on our youth site is not just for youths. That is, we do have resources that are also available to young adults. There's a wealth of information on the youth website that you can share as part of your benefit counseling for individuals 18 years old and even individuals as old as 26. If you'll indulge me for a quick second, I'll show you what I mean in a few minutes, but first I'd like to start with a little background. So the youth website is part of our SSI Transition Aged Youth campaign. The campaign informs SSI youths and their guardians about work incentives and other support services that may be available to them as they transition into adulthood. The primary elements of the campaign is the Youth SSI Transition Aged Notice and the youth publication. We mail the notice annually to SSI youths ages 14 to 17 and their guardians. To support the primary publication, we also have 6 fully electronic mini publications. We call them the mini pubs, and they're designed to appeal directly to the youths. All of the elements of the youth campaign are available on our youth website. So basically, the notice introduces the publication, and it lets the beneficiary know that they'll soon go through our age 18 redetermination process. And the main publication provides all types of resources and information to help the individual start or continue working while still receiving SSI benefit. Next slide, please. The youth website is a one-stop hub dedicated to providing valuable information to the youths, their guardians, teachers, caregivers about SSA's youth support services and programs, as well as support services and resources available from national services and even some community support services. Individuals can reach the website by entering ssa.gov/youth into an address bar, or the youth notice has a QR code, and they can scan the QR code with a smart device, and it will take them directly to the youth website. We've designed the website to be practical, informational, and comprehensive. Next slide, please. So now I'd like to show you what the website looks like and how to locate information that can benefit your age 18 clientele. Next slide, please. So when you enter www.ssa.gov/youth into an address bar, it brings you to this webpage. This is our youth toolkit or youth website. Upon entering the webpage, the first thing you're going to see is the blue box in highlight, and that's where we provide a link to our primary publication, what you need to know about your SSI when you turn 18. I want to take just a quick look at the contents of the publication. So, Derek, can you pull up the publication so we can just take a quick look at the contents? So let's slide to page 1, just past the introduction. Right here. It's fine. So the first page of the youth publication talks about the age 18 redetermination process. The age 18 redetermination is where the transition process starts for agency purposes, that is, for beneficiaries turning 18 years old. Now, I'm not a ticket analyst, so I cannot speak to it in depth, but I do know that in order for an individual to be eligible for a ticket, they must go through the age 18 redetermination process and be found eligible for disability or blindness based on our adult criteria. There's also information in this publication about our work incentives. Our work incentives are a resource that anyone can use, even ages 18 and over. Our work incentives make it possible for an individual to continue to receive SSI and Medicaid while they work. There's information in this publication about free or low-cost external support services for not only youths with disabilities, but also for individuals over age 18. That's page 12, Dirk, if you want to slide to it. There's information like parent centers, which is a resource for individuals with special needs up to age 26. There's information about state BRs. There is information with, right here. This is it. There's information with, about health care for youths and for young adults and their families. So there's a lot of information in the publications that does not just apply to youths. They can be used by individuals who are over age 18. And that's just to name a few. If we can go back to the PowerPoint really quick. And so in the center of the page, you'll see our youth resources section. And that's just a quick glance at some of the other information and content in the other publications, the mini publications. There are 6 mini publications. For example, in the third column where it says preparing to work, that first bullet with a hyperlink that says navigate to information and supports to help SSI youth become self-sufficient. That is our mini pub 64119. It's titled Resources to Earn Money. And it's a list of resources that can help an individual become self-supporting at any age. And the third bullet in that same column, learn how work can affect your payments. That's our, mini pub 64120, same name, learn how work can affect your payments. And it has examples of how we apply work incentives to exclude some of their income so they can continue to receive benefits while working. For example, that particular publication, 64120, has an example of student earned income exclusion, aka SEIE. And Danielle is going to tell you a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But SEIE is available to individuals up to age 22. Can we go to the next slide, please? Here is our downloadable brochure section. This is the hyperlinks to all of our brochures. The main brochure, SSI when you turn 18. Then the youth toolkit, when you expand it, it has all 6 mini publications, 64118 through 64123. There's also a link to what's new in 2024, and that's a page with the most recent rates, the SGA amount for 2024, the trial work period amount for 2024, the Medicare premiums, all of that type of information. And then, of course, there's the link to our Red Book, which is our biggest employment support guide, and that can be used by anyone. It's a whole lot of information in that. And then lastly, we have the what do I do now section, and we broke that down by age, right? So the first part of it is for individuals that are ages 14 to 15, and we just wanted to give them some tips on how they can get started, because at age 14 and 15, age 18 seems so far off, right? But there is some things that they can do this early on to start getting prepared. Next slide, please. And then lastly, there is the age 16 to 17 tips, which basically tells them to act now because time is of the essence, right? And it just tells them that, you know, contact their state PR and start getting on waiting lists and good stuff like that. So there's a lot of information on the youth website that does apply to individuals who are over the age 18. There are resources that they can take advantage of. And I would encourage you to take a look at, you know, the youth website at your leisure to see what other resources and information is available that could possibly benefit your clientele. If you'd like to visit the website, next slide, please. You can visit it at www.ssa.gov/youth. And with that, I'll hand it back to the moderator.
Thank you so much, Renee, for your remarks, presentation. I had a chance to visit the Transition Age Youth website in preparation for the event, and I really commend the Youth Friendly Resource Center. So if you haven't checked it out, there's a lot there in that What Should I Know or What Should I Do Now section that Renee just shared 2 slides on is really helpful for youth and young adults developing a timeline, but also for their advisors and influencers too. So thanks, Renee. We appreciate you being with us, and we'll have you back just after our next presenter for our first Q&A. Okay, let's move to the next slide, please. For our next presenter, we're pleased to have with us Danielle Wahonek. Danielle's been with us in the past as well. She's also a Social Security policy analyst. Danielle will be providing a presentation on a great work incentive, the student earned income exclusion. And it's now my pleasure to hand this over to Danielle.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Daniel Wahonik, and I'm from the Office of Employment Support. Today, I will be sharing information on a student earned income exclusion. If you can, next slide, please. The SEIE allows a person who is under age 22 and regularly attending school to exclude a certain amount of earnings from the accountable income before we calculate their SSI payment. The amounts that are excluded are usually adjusted every year. In 2024, we exclude up to $2,290 per month of earned income, or up to $9,230 in a year. In 2025, this amount will increase to up to $2,350 per month of earned income, or up to $9,460 in a year. Next slide, please. To qualify for this exclusion, an individual must be under age 22 and be a student regularly attending school. The SEIE applies to all individuals on a record who are working students under the age of 22, not just those who meet the SSI definition of a child. This includes an eligible or ineligible individual, child, spouse, or parent. It also applies to the joint earned income of eligible couples when both members are under age 22 and are working students. Next slide. Regularly attending school means a student takes one or more courses of study and attend classes in a college or university for at least 8 hours per week under semester or quarter system, in grades 7 through 12 for at least 12 hours per week, in a course of training to prepare for a paying job for at least 15 hours per week if the course involves shop practice, or 12 hours per week if it does not involve shop practice. This training includes anti-poverty programs such as Job Corps and government-supported courses in self-improvement, or for less than the amount of time indicated above for reasons beyond the student's control, such as an illness, if circumstances justify the reduced credit load or attendance. Next slide. In addition to the general requirements above, a person may qualify as a student in any of the following categories, provided the additional criteria are met. In grades 7 through 12, when homeschooled, instructions is in accordance with the homeschool laws of their state. In grades 7 through 12, when receiving education online or college, if the online school is authorized by the laws in the state where the online school is located, or sending courses given by a school, college, or government agency while homebound, due to a disability if a home visitor or tutor from the school directs to the studying or training. Next slide, please. An individual remains a student when classes end if they attended classes regularly just before the school closed for school break and tells us that they intend to resume attending school when school reopens or resumes attending school when it reopens. Next slide, please. How you can help. You can help by having the student contact SSA to report their wages and have them inform SSA that they are a full-time student under the age of 22. Next slide, please. That ends my presentation, and I will now send it back to the moderator. Thanks.
Danielle, thank you very much for your remarks on the work incentives and covering the student earned income exclusion. If we could proceed to the next slide, we now have an opportunity for questions for Renee and Danielle related to the remarks and their presentations. Prior to starting that, just want to bring up a few reminders about how to participate in asking questions. First, over the telephone, that's that two-step process. First, you raise your hand by dialing or pressing star 5, and then our facilitator will unmute you and will call upon you, and then you need to press star 6 to unmute yourself. If you have MS Teams and you prefer, you can use the chat option, or if you want to ask your question aloud, you can use the raise your hand feature, and we'll call on you and unmute you to go ahead and ask your question. We do ask you to ask one question and then state your first name, your EN name, and then ask that question. And with that in mind, I want to go first to Brittany on our team to see if we have any questions coming through in chat that we can bring up for our presenters. Brittany?
Hello, Derek. Yes, we do have two questions from Justin. The first question is, can any and all of these SSA publications be ordered by contacting Patty Stanley or only some of them?
If you mean in an alternative, yeah, it's probably for me. If you mean in an alternative format, there's a link on the website, actually, where you can request the publication to be mailed to you, because they're all in electronic form. They're PDFs. But you can have them mailed to you in an alternate format. There's a link right on the website. I should have showed it to you, but it's on the homepage. You'll see it under the download a brochure section.
And his question is a continuation of that one as well, Renee. He's asking, are the publications available in large print or other languages as well, including Spanish, Vietnamese, or Braille?
They are available in Spanish. They are available in Braille and large print. I don't know if it's available. Well, it's not readily available in Vietnamese. What I don't know is if you can order it and have it sent in Vietnamese. I'll look into that and get back to you because I don't know, but it is available. There's actually a Spanish version of the youth website. I should have showed you guys. Thank you for that question, Justin. There's actually a Spanish version of the youth website. So when you reach the youth website, in the banner where it says youth toolkit, in parentheses right next to youth toolkit, it says Espanol. If you click it, it'll take you to the Spanish version of the youth website, and all of the publications are there available in Spanish. But I will find out if we can have it sent in other languages besides Spanish. But I do know we can send it to you in Braille and large print and in other special media types.
Thank you, Renee. Brittany, do we have any other questions?
Those are all the questions I have right now from the chat.
Thanks, Brittany. This is Derek. If you have a question for Renee or Danielle covering either of their presentations, please feel free to raise your hand or submit that into chat. We'll be glad to take a moment. And Catherine, we have somebody who raised their hand. Well, for a moment. You see that person, Catherine?
I did, Derek. Rachel, if you'll raise your hand again, we'll unmute you and give you access to ask a question.
And if it was an errant raise hand, that's okay. But we'll give this another 30 seconds or so. And if we don't have any more questions for Renee and Danielle, then we'll proceed with the rest of our presenters' remarks today. Brittany, we have another one here. I'll go ahead and read it from Eddie. What about a student starting the SEIE at the age of 18? Can it be used for another year? Renee?
That would be a question for Danielle.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's Danielle.
Yeah.
My apologies. Danielle?
The SEIE exclusion it can be used for someone who's 18, but it has to be in the year and the month that they earn it.
Thank you. And Eddie has a follow-up. Is it a one-time opportunity?
No, it's a monthly up to a maximum each year, up to age 22.
So that, in essence, if you hit that maximum annual amount, which adjusts each year, you could revisit it the next year. So it's more than a one-time opportunity annually as well?
Correct.
Okay. So more than one time per month up to that cap, and then also you can access it year over year, just so long as you're at the correct age and the maximum amount. Thanks, Danielle.
You're welcome.
We have another question. I would like to request a copy of today's presentation. We note that there's an email address here from Alicia. We will have the presentation available along with the call recap, but our team will also capture that, Alicia, to make sure we follow up with you directly, too. Let me bring Brittany back in. I think there might be a few others coming in. Brittany, another question for our presenters.
It was a follow-up question from Justin. He went to the website, but he was only able to see Spanish options. He was mentioning that in Southern California, there are a lot of different languages spoken, and still was inquiring about if they would be available in other languages.
Okay, and Renee in there. Any advice for Renee?
Yeah, when you go to the website, I'm going to try to pull it up really quick. I'm sorry, guys. But there is a link where you can request alternate media. What I do not know is if you can request an alternate language. So I'm going to have to take that question down and get back to you. But under the download a brochure section, in the last column, it says brochures in alternate format. And then there's an option to order the publications in an alternate format. But I'm going to take that question down, and I'll reach out to OCOM, to our liaison in OCOM. That's our media office, so to speak, and find out if it's available in other languages besides Spanish. That's an amazing question, Justin, and I guess I should have been prepared for that one. But I'll find out. I'll get back to you. I'll get back to Derek. And Derek and everybody will add the response to, I guess you'll add it to the transcript, probably, Derek?
We'll have it in a transcript, but we'll put it into the recap to, as it's been a question here, to make sure that not only Justin has an answer, but all attendees who are interested in other languages would have that too. So Renee, okay. We'll be happy to work with you on capturing that and getting it included. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Justin, so we'll get that answer to you, okay?
Yeah, there's another comment that there's some other folks that would look at Hindi and perhaps some other languages of the Indian subcontinent. So appreciate that as a need for ticket holders that are out there, and we'll work to include what the options are and what the process steps would be if they are available. And we'll take another 30 seconds here to see if we have any other questions. I'll just bring Brittany back in to make sure that we've captured all the questions so far. Any other questions, Brittany?
Those were the only questions from the chat at this time.
Okay. Well, with that, we do have the opportunity, I believe, to have some questions later if anyone brings those up. And, of course, you could always submit them to our email address, which I'll repeat a couple more times before the end. If something comes to mind, we can connect with Danielle and Renee to get you those answers as well. At this time, let's proceed to our next presenter. If we could go to the next slide, please. It's now my pleasure to introduce Aaron Weidman. Aaron is a social insurance specialist with the Office of Employment Support, and Aaron rejoins the All EN call this quarter to provide us with some more EN updates and reminders. Aaron?
Hi, also, I have a few updates and reminders for you today. My first update is going to be regarding the employment verification process. So in October, we began the employment verification process again. This was the third and final employment verification for the calendar year of 2024, and the process closed on November 6th. If your EN did not complete the October employment verification, please do so immediately. Failure to complete this verification could result in your portal users being locked out of the portal. We will also begin sending care notices to ENs that have not completed the October employment verification next week. And our next employment verification, as a reminder, will be part of the annual security awareness certification, which actually is a great lead into my next topic. So, the annual performance outcome report, or APOR, and the annual security awareness certification collection period will begin on January 27th of 2025. So please remember that the annual security awareness certification requires that EN staff review and sign a copy of the SSA 222 within the collection period, meaning that 222 forms or addendums with an employee signature date before January 27th will not be accepted. I mention this because I know sometimes ENs will try to start collecting those 222 forms from their staff early. Please do not do this. Again, we can't accept forms or addendums with an employee signature date before January 27th. So more information regarding completing and submitting the APOR and the security awareness certification will be sent out closer to the start of the collection period. As always, we will post the APOR survey questions for review, an FAQ document, and some other materials to aid you in completing the APOR. And TPN will also host an APOR and security awareness certification process review session. So lastly, I want to mention that we have heard from you. We've received your feedback regarding the kind of administrative burden associated with the requirement to submit updated work from home request forms annually during your annual service and supports review as part of what we call the additional documentation request. So starting in 2025, as part of your service and supports review, we have changed what we will request. So what we'll now request is work from home request forms for any staff who would like to conduct business outside of the ticket holder service location and have not previously been approved to do so. And I just want to stop here and note that you do not need to wait until your service and supports review to submit new work from home requests. You can do that at any time during the year, but also you're welcome to do so at this time, you know, during your review. We'll also request a work from home request addendum listing all staff who have previously been approved, who have a previously approved work from home request form to certify that those staff have reviewed their previously approved request and attest that the information included is still accurate. This addendum will need to be signed by the program contact or the signatory authority, and we will revise the current addendum to be used for this new purpose, and we'll release that new addendum before we implement this new process in 2025. We will also only require ENs to submit Partnership Plus agreements for VRs your EN has an agreement with that has been renewed or has not previously been submitted to us. Meaning that, for example, if you submitted a Partnership Plus agreement last year and the agreement is a lifetime agreement or it doesn't expire for many years in the future, you'll not need to submit it again. It's only going to be those renewed agreements. Or new agreements. So more information regarding the updated, again, additional documentation request for 2025 will be sent out before the end of the year, before we implement this new process. Once we finalize everything, we just wanted to mention it today to let you know that we have heard from you and we are going to make changes based on your feedback. So please keep an eye out for a Gov delivery message with more specifics. And that is all I have for today. So back to you, Derek.
Thank you so much, Erin, for these important updates and reminders. And we'll welcome Erin back for the second Q&A session after our next two presentations. Speaking of those, we'll now proceed to receive some updates and reminders from the EN operations portion of the program. And for that, we have Anna Morales, our EN development and training manager, with the ticket program manager. Anna, over to you, please.
Thank you, Derek, and good afternoon, everybody. I have three main topics to cover today. The first one is about the request for application updates, and we thought that because this is the last call of 2024, we can provide you a recap of the changes that the RFA has had this year. The first one happened on April 10th. And one of the changes was to add the SSA 222 security awareness form specifically to Section 6. Next slide, please. The second update was Section 8, protecting and reporting the loss of personally identifiable information. In this section, there were a couple of updates. One was the addition of the Office of Management and Budget, safeguarding against and responding to breach of personally identifiable information. There is a clarification of the acceptable encryption standards designated by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Information about reporting loss, compromise, or potential loss of PII to Social Security, National Network Service Center, and to also EN Service. And there was an addition of a worksheet that helps service providers report any PII loss, compromise, or potential compromise. And finally, there was some general information about the EN's data recovery loss mitigation or related companies attempt to recover the loss of any compromised data. So those were the updates for the very first update of the RFA this year. And if we move to the next slide, we can go to the second one, which happened on June 3rd. And this one included a little bit more updates than the first one. The first one was a clarification for the administrative EN business model. Admin ENs must maintain a minimum of 2 provider affiliates, not just to apply for becoming an admin EN, but also the remainder of their award. So they need to maintain always 2 provider affiliates. Admin ENs are responsible for ensuring that their provider affiliates meet and maintain the requirements identified in Part 3, Sections 1A and 1B. That refers specifically to the general and the specific qualifications that ENs need to have to be part of the program. Admin ENs are no longer required to submit the monthly provider affiliate report. That was being replaced by using the TPA change form for any of the changes that happened. And finally, that AENs must report to EN Service any changes to the provider affiliates within 1 business day using the TPA change form. Let's move to the next slide. Continuing with the changes, the removal of the unique entity identifier, ENs with more than 1 business model or interested in adding another model are no longer required to obtain that separate UEI. EN reporting requirements, ENs are not required to report to EN Service, IWP amendments, or ticket on assignment. However, they still need to keep case notes and IWP amendments on file. And the security and suitability requirements, which is Part 4, Section 5, clarify the change of EQIP with the EAP, or the electronic application that is now in place. And also announced that applicants no longer needed to complete the Fair Credit Reporting Act form. And a new link was added to the suitability and process guide and the EAP application listing. So this is mainly a recap, like I said, of the 2 changes that the RFA had for this year. We just wanted to bring it to your attention. And if we move to the next slide, I'm going to change the topic a little bit and talk to you about a new resource that was recently launched. And that is the Ticket Holder Intake Guide worksheet, which is a tool that is supporting our employment network guide to working with ticket holders. It offers in-depth information for conducting and documenting ticket holders' intake discussions, also known as those one-on-one individualized discussions. And it provides instructions to how to meet individual work plans requirements. It provides fillable fields in the worksheet that can be more user-friendly for everybody. Let's move to the next slide for a continuation of the tool. Like I said, the fillable form can be downloaded, complete and print. It contains sample questions and a space to capture the information, such as the date, ticket holder contact information, any additional notes. And it answers to some key questions and factors to identify during that initial discussion with the ticket holder, such as employment goals, dreams, earnings potential, work histories, trends, interests, workplaces, preference, and so forth. So the link is posted right now on the chat, so you can check it out yourself, and hopefully it will be very helpful to everybody. And if we move to the next slide, I'm going to move now to our EN Foundation's training considerations for 2025. As you know, or some of you may know, we have been working on the modernization project of our EN Foundation's modules. And with this, we have been incorporating e-learning best practices. We updated content. The outdated content that is currently there. gain efficiencies via rebuild the Bridge learning management system that we have been using, and also maintain the content through responsive authoring tool. So we're getting to the end of the year, and we have a high-level launch plan that we wanted to share with you to give you a heads up of what's coming. Right now in November, we are completing the modules and doing some internal testing in Bridge and also the website. In December, we are going to continue to test the Bridge LMS and the website to confirm all the operational readiness. And January 2025, we're going to start the year on the right foot, and we're going to launch the new modules to everybody. We're going to direct all learners into the new modules, and we're going to work with the learners that are still on the current one and make sure that we move them properly and they graduate as soon as possible so we can move everybody into the new platform. So with that, I want to also give you a sneak peek of what the new modules are going to look like. So let's go ahead and play the video, please.
Now for a sneak peek of the EN Foundations module modernization. Let's look at the overview of the Ticket to Work program module. First is the modernized e-learning module navigation. Navigation is done lesson by lesson or by using the navigation bar located on the left side of the screen. The navigation bar shows a percentage complete and a visual representation of module progress. Each lesson consists of blocks of content navigated by selecting a button or by scrolling. Next is the modernized e-learning approach of engaging and interactive content. The modules use attractive images that relate to content, clickable links, infographics to increase understanding, white space for an excellent user experience, manageable chunks of information, interactive text content such as tabs, images that can be enlarged, and engaging videos featuring characters such as our EN Foundation's learning guide, Carmen, along with content-specific information and graphics. All videos have closed captions and video transcripts. Lastly are the modernized module assessments. Learners complete an ungraded knowledge check after lessons to help evaluate lesson comprehension. Knowledge checks involve characters in real-world scenarios trying to solve a problem. Modules end with a quiz to ensure the learner has mastered the content. Quiz questions are a combination of scenario questions, true or false, multiple choice, fill in the blank, and choose all that apply.
Thank you. So we wanted to share with you what's coming with the latest tools and technology that we have been working on. And we're looking forward to launch this product next year. And we're also welcome your feedback. If you have a learner that is going through these new modules and is taking it, we will love to hear back from you. So obviously you can email enoperations@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov and we will appreciate any feedback that you can share. And with that, I'll send it back to Derek.
Thank you so much, Anna, for providing the EN Operations updates and reminders and for providing that sneak peek of the training content. Somebody commented the voice is challenging, and I'll just make mention that that's not the voice that's actually used in the modules. So I think you'll find it not to be the case. But more on that soon, and you could bring up some questions for Anna during our second Q&A, which will be coming up shortly. Our next presentation is by Jamie Pendergraf. Jamie is the Director of Communications and Outreach with the Ticket Program Manager and will provide some updates from the Communications and Outreach Department. Jamie?
Thank you so much, Derek, and good afternoon, everyone. As Derek said, I'm Jamie Pendergraf, the Director of Communications and Outreach for TPM. Today, I'm going to go over some new and upcoming content about Ticket to Work, along with a couple of announcements. Today, I'm going to start out by talking about some new email addresses. In late 2024, many of our ticket program email addresses will change, and some of those will also, the changes will be made into 2025. The one we're going to start with is support@cheesework.ssa.gov, which is the email address that goes to the helpline. This is going to change to tickettowork@ssa.gov. Many of you do have this email address listed on your websites, or you've shared it in social media, and we do encourage you to update it. You'll get a notification that the email has changed when we send a GovDelivery message out, probably in December. So please keep an eye out for that. Those emails will be forwarded from support@choosework.ssa.gov to the new email for a little while, but we do want to make sure we're getting all of those email addresses changed out there. Next slide, please. In addition to that, TPM staff email addresses are also going to change starting on January 1st, 2025. Due to Accenture Federal Services acquisition of Cognosante LLC, the new email addresses will be either name@afs.com or name@asmresearch.com. ASM Research is an AFS subsidiary. Emails sent to Cognosante will also be forwarded for a short time, but please be sure to update your contacts as you see those new responses coming through. Next slide, please. Now, on to some new content. Before I get started, I wanted to talk briefly about how you can use these materials that I'm going to share today. We encourage you to take advantage of everything on the Choose Work website and on our social media, and use it on your websites and share on your own social media. We develop these tools to help promote the ticket program, and we do hope they make your marketing job a bit easier. And to start off with, I'm going to talk about some videos. In late 2024, we will publish a series of short videos promoting the ticket program and other work incentives along with the services you provide. Videos will publish on the Choose Work website and on our Choose Work YouTube channel. Again, we encourage you to share our social media content about them and use them as marketing tools for your employment at work. You'll receive some sample social media content via GovDelivery, along with an announcement of when they're available. And Alicia, I would now like to go ahead and share a sneak peek of one of our upcoming videos.
Are you age 18 through 64? Do you receive Social Security Disability Insurance, or SSDI, or Supplemental Security Income, or SSI, because of your disability? SSDI provides benefits to people with disabilities who have worked or have previously worked and paid enough into the Social Security system through payroll deduction or paying self-employment taxes. SSI makes payments to people with disabilities and who have limited income and resources. Are you interested in increasing your earning potential and finding fulfillment in the workforce? If so, Social Security's Ticket to Work program may be a good fit for you. Ticket to Work is a free and voluntary program. The program can help you decide if working is right for you and provide long-term support to help you find, keep, and advance in a job. Authorized ticket program service providers, such as employment networks or your state vocational rehabilitation agency, provide services such as career counseling, vocational rehabilitation, job placement assistance, and training. Employment networks can help with career counseling and assistance with job placement, including helping you understand how working will affect your benefits. Vocational rehabilitation agencies work with people who need more significant services to return to work or to work for the first time. This may include intensive training, benefits counseling, rehabilitation services, and education, which sometimes includes college courses. To learn more about other Social Security work incentives, see Social Security's Red Book by visiting ssa.gov/redbook. If you're interested in participating in this free and voluntary program, call us at the Ticket to Work helpline. Our team is happy to verify your eligibility and answer any questions you have. For more information, call the Ticket to Work.
Thanks so much, Alicia, and we're going to save reading out all that additional text. It's just how to contact the Ticket to Work helpline. We do hope that you will find those videos helpful and would love to hear your ideas about how you might put them to use. So feel free to reach out and contact us and let us know what you'll do with them. Moving on to success stories, our next success, our most recent success story is about a young gentleman named Kushal, and I did want to share that these stories are a great way to demonstrate how the ticket program and other work incentives work for real people. They also explain the services you offer as an employment network. Again, share these on social media and help your audience understand what the Ticket to Work program is all about. One of our more recent success stories features Kushal. As he manages muscular dystrophy, Kushal has overcome many challenges to keep his healthcare benefits as his career progressed. This story demonstrates how the Ticket to Work program helped Kushal reach his educational, employment, and financial goals and features Full Circle Employment Services. One second. Next slide, please. Next up is Adrian, and I hope that many of you joined us for a recent EN Essentials where we featured Adrian's story along with the team that came together to help her succeed, including her employment network, which is Community Integrated Services, her teachers, her VR agency, and Project Search. Adrian's story is a shining example of the importance of the employment team in the success of ticket holders. I strongly encourage you to check out her story, and if you missed the EN Essentials, head to the events archive page on the Your Ticket to Work website and give it a listen. It was an excellent presentation by all involved. Next slide, please. Now, here's a sneak peek at our latest resource, which is called Ticket to Work for America's Veterans. Some of you may have been familiar with an older fact sheet by the same title. We have updated it and made it into a type of success story fact sheet hybrid. So this is actually hot off the presses and is going to be published this week. We're hoping for after midnight tonight. So be sure to be on the lookout for that. And this story features Angel, Jeff, and Robert, who all turned their military service into career, into civilian careers with the support of the ticket program. It also includes additional resources for veterans. We encourage you to use this as a tool to share how the ticket program can help veterans, as many do not realize they qualify for the program. If you'd like to submit a success story, please contact stories@choosework.ssa.gov, and our success story coordinator, Kimberly Childs, will contact you. Please remember not to send any PII to this inbox. Next slide, please. Our next free national webinar is tomorrow, November 20th, from 3 to 4:30 p.m. Eastern. Looking at the registration, many of you have already signed up, but if you haven't, I encourage you to join us to learn more about the intersection of VA and Social Security benefits. Deborah Wagner from Cornell University will join us. Also, remember to share this on social media. You can head to ChooseWorks social media accounts and simply hit the share button to help us reach people interested in this topic. If you are an EN who serves veterans or happens to have a veteran success story, we would love to hear from you. You can send any ideas you have on how to better serve this audience my way. If you have a success story or you do have ideas, contact us at that stories@choosework.ssa.gov email address. Next slide, please. Again, we try and help you out as much as possible with providing content and helping you fill your social media calendars, because I know many of you have a lot on your plates that may not include marketing. So if you need to fill those social media schedules, we have lots of content, and you're welcome to share our posts and materials from the website. So to find us on social media, you can find us on Facebook at ChooseWork and on X at ChooseWorkSSA. Again, any success story leads you can send to stories@choosework.ssa.gov. Just leave out any PII. And you can also submit blog posts or other ideas to social media at choosework.ssa.gov. And with that, I will hand it over to Derek. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jamie, for providing those communications and outreach team updates. We appreciate the work that's being done in the development of the new videos, these great success stories and the work behind them provided by the employment networks. along with the WISE events for tomorrow and our final one coming up in December too. So certainly appreciate that. We'll provide a final reminder right at the end today for those upcoming WISE dates and times to ensure they're on your calendars too. And now it's time for our second Q&A session. We do have all of our presenters still with us, Renee, Danielle, Aaron, Anna, and Jamie. So we encourage you to submit your questions either through chat or the raise your hand feature. And just as another reminder, you can use your telephone in a two-step process. Press star 5 first. We'll unmute you and call on you, and then you need to do star 6. Of course, you can use MS Teams chat or the raise your hand, and we'll call on you. So you could voice your question if you choose. Please do state your name, your EN name, and then ask your question. I know that a lot of questions have been submitted and responded to in chat. So before we open up the chat session, I just wanted to go back to a couple of those from an access stance and suggest what has occurred. We had a couple asked earlier on. One was the RFA we have is dated May 31, and then we had Aaron respond with the presentation covered today, two RFA changes. One was dated April 5th, 2024, and the second one was dated May 31st, 2024. So just to ensure that's aware to everybody. And then we had another question come in. I completed employment verification, but I'm told I need to complete it. What do I do to resolve this? And the request was to reach out to EN Service to confirm whether the October employment verification has been received. And then a little bit more recently in the chat, is EN Foundations taking the place of the CEUs required by VCU? No, these modules are for the ENs or new EN staff. To start operations in the ticket program, so not a replacement there. And while there has been some other chat, what I'll do now is ask Brittany to come in to see if we have a couple questions that haven't been responded to yet for today's presenters. Brittany?
Yes, Derek. I have two questions that are for Jamie. The first one is from Justin. What's happening with the beneficiary ticket to work video?
Ben is still with us. I'll pop the link in the chat in just a second. We did just want to give, to create some videos with a little bit of a more modern look and feel. But Ben is very much still available right off the homepage, and you can certainly still use him if you desire to use him. These are just a supplement.
Thank you. And the next question is from Lisa. When submitting a success story, how long does it take to post?
Lisa, thanks so much for that question. And I'll be honest, it really depends. So I do want to step back for a minute and go over some of the basics of submitting a success story. I want to let folks know that your employment network is not responsible for writing success stories at all. We have a writer on our staff who will coordinate the whole process. So don't feel like and something that you have to take on. Truly depends on the particular situation, who may be in line in front of the person for publication, and how communicative all of the players may be. Sometimes the beneficiary may not be very responsive to us. Other times, a teacher might have been involved who they really want in the story, but the teacher isn't responding to us. So I'm sorry, I don't really have a clear answer for you, but it really just depends. But if you have somebody in mind, we'd love to talk about it.
Thank you. All right. Our next question is also from Lisa. I believe this is a question for Aaron. How many times throughout the year do we need to submit for employment verification? Is it 2 or 3 times during the year?
Yes. So the employment verification process is triannual, so 3 times a year. So we will verify the employment of all EN employees as part of your regular annual security awareness certification that happens the end of January through February. And then in June and October, we'll verify the employment of all of your portal users and main points of contact. So the employment verification process that I mentioned earlier that just finished was your October employment verification process.
Thank you. And we have one more question from Stephanie. And she would like to know if we can go back to show the slide again that was showing the change of email addresses.
Thanks, Brittany, for bringing that one up. Alicia, if it's possible, we could go back to slide, I think it's 15. It has new email addresses, the title. I'm sorry, I might have the slide number incorrect.
35.
Sorry, yeah. I was off by 20. Here we have it in front. First, support at choosework.ssa.gov will change to ticket to work at ssa.gov. I think that's what Stephanie was seeking. Jamie, any comments that you wanted to reiterate on this slide? I think you mentioned that there might be a notice going out in December.
Yes, sure. So thanks, Derek. It's Jamie. You will get a notification that this is changing. It's going to be on our social media. It will be announced on the website. I'm hoping you will not be able to miss when this changes. But as I mentioned, the emails that go to support at choosework.ssa.gov will be forwarded to the new email address for some time. They will also have an out-of-office response programmed to list the new email address. So we're going to make sure our folks are very aware of this new email address.
Thank you, Jamie. Brittany, just to circle back, any other questions come in since that last one?
Those are all of the questions for right now from the chat.
Thanks so much. We appreciate that. There have been a couple comments just to ensure that folks who aren't online reading the comments about the appreciation for the videos, the new videos, and appreciation for the new success stories. We also had some reactions in MS Teams with some hearts and thumbs up. So it looks like they're appreciated and needed by folks to do their work. There was also a comment that came in that said, we love Ben. So I think there's appreciation that Ben continues to be available as well. So thanks for those comments. And in the meantime, if you have any questions, we still have time. We have all of our presenters with us. Please do submit your questions through chat or raise your hand. Be glad to entertain those. I see a question from Paula that's come in, and perhaps somebody from Social Security would be open to answer this question. Is Cognizante still going to be handling the ticket to work contract? Is there someone from our Social Security colleagues that would be open to answering that or providing a response?
Hey, Derek, this is Natalie from Social Security. I have not heard otherwise unless Laura or Mel, you'd like to take this, but I didn't want no one to respond to you, Derek.
Thank you, Natalie.
Hi, thanks, this is Melanie. Derek, this is Melanie. I was muted. I didn't realize I had to unmute on the phone as well. I believe that question is in reference to Jamie's comment with all of the Cognizante email addresses changing, if I'm not mistaken. So, Jamie, I don't know if you want to mention anything regarding that slide, if you can go back to that comment, and then I can add on to that.
Sure. Alicia, can you head back to slide 36, I believe? So, yes, as I mentioned, our email addresses on the TPM side are going to change starting in January, and this is due to the acquisition of Cognizante LLC by Accenture Federal Services. So basically, Cognizante was purchased by Accenture Federal Services, and we are now part of that company. You'll see either email addresses that are name@afs.com or name@asmresearch.com. And ASM Research is also a part of AFS. It's an AFS subsidiary. Mel, did you want to add on anything?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that, Jamie. So that, I think that was what prompted the question. So to all of you, it will be business as usual. We wanted to make you aware. So if you started to see the changes in the email addresses, or if you're wondering what's going on, as Jamie mentioned, it's because Cognoscente was acquired by Accenture, but everything will remain the same. The contract under the current ticket program manager contract does go through the end of next year, and then as our contract does every 5 years, there will be a competition. So that all remains TBD as with any competition, but through the next contract year, everything will be the same, and all of the people that you've been working with at Cognoscente and with the recent acquisition will be the same.
And this is Laura. I don't know if anyone can hear me. Derek, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, great. Sorry, I didn't jump in. I thought it says my phone, I can no longer unmute. So, but great. I'm glad I was able to. I just wanted to mention also, this is Laura York, that the reason you'll see more specific information right now. You just see name@afs.com and name@asmresearch.com. In the new year, in January, you'll see specific conventions as those become apparent. But right now, you're seeing just basic information. But in January, you'll see the specific conventions of the email addresses. If there might be a middle name, there might be first name dot last name. Just not sure what those will look like yet. But in the new year, all of that will become available, and you'll see exactly what those email addresses look like. As Mel said, we just wanted to give you the information now that the convention, that the way the email addresses look will be changing, but you'll get specifics, the way that they'll look very specifically in January.
Thank you very much, Laura, and thank you, Mel. And thanks, Jamie, for the descriptions. I think you answered the question and got a response from Paul that said thank you. The short version is ticket program manager team of Cognoscente folks will be under different email addresses, but continuing the same work through the 2025 performance year. With that, I'm going to bring back Brittany. Brittany, it looks like we have a new question in chat.
Yes, this is a question for Anna. After Suitability is acquired for new EN staff, what do we need to do to initiate the training modules they have to complete before working with ticket holders and gaining access to the ticket portal?
Well, when you assign somebody to be a ticket portal user, you will do it by completing the TPA change form, sending it to EN Service, and once EN Service process that TPA change form, it comes to the EN development and training team. That will initiate the training. You technically don't have to do anything other than complete the form, send it to them for processing, and when we receive it, we enroll the user in Bridge, which is the LMS that we use to do the trainings. Suitability is part of the training, by the way. You can do it before if you like to, but Suitability is part of the training. They will receive an orientation with one of our analysts, and they will start with Suitability, and then they will go through a series of 14 modules to prepare them to operate in the program, which includes completing the MySSA account and getting portal access. So what you need to do is that, send the form, and if for any reason your person has not been contacted for training, please email EN Operations and we will put you in contact immediately with your analyst.
Thank you, Anna. And just as a follow-on question on that topic, do you forecast that changing at all with the new foundations modules that you gave a sneak peek of today, or will those things remain the same?
The process will remain the same. The modules will be new and improved, but the process will still be the same.
Thank you very much for that. Appreciate that. Again, if you have questions, we have a few minutes remaining here today. You can submit your questions through the chat or raise your hand. If you're on the telephone and prefer to do that, hit star 5. We'll call on you and then need you to hit star 6 to ask your question aloud. Will the module slides be printable this time around? Anna, we have a question coming in about the printability of the module slides.
And I will probably need your help to answer that one. I want to say yes, the transcript will be also available there in the module, but I will ask for your help to answer that one, that specific question.
Sure. Thanks, Anna. Well, first, they won't be slides. And I think that's the big difference. Right now, when you experience the content, it looks like a slide, but it plays as a video. And it's a one long video with kind of start stops. It does have the transcript available on a separate section, but it's not actually a slide. The new learning module system that we have this in is taking advantage of an authoring tool that allows it to be segmented out by in a course with some sub or in a module with some subcourses. And so you'll go through that navigation. They will not be slides, but we will have a printability of much of the content that's in there. It's an interactive platform, modern learning management system, and you will have the ability to access the content and download a lot of resources directly from the platform, including the transcripts of the videos. But those videos themselves will not be printable, and there's a lot of learning content that's in the videos that's reinforced by printed content. The learning management system that the authoring tools content, this is a question that came in, what is the name of the learning management system? It's identical to the one that we interface with today. It's, the Bridge learning management system will continue to be used. The authoring tool that's behind it is what generates the content, but that is somewhat agnostic to the user experience. And you got a brief view of what we're presenting. That will become available in January. We will have a full transition plan. We're working closely with Social Security to provide those details and then provide plenty of transition time to access the new system. What we're most pleased about this system, I know Anna mentioned it, the idea that we can update as a policy or procedure change or a new resource becomes available, we can go in almost real time, update that platform. Right now, we have static videos, and they are approaching 8 years in age. So that's why this project is in place. So we'll be working closely with you. Importantly, the analysts that engage with all of the EN learners will continue to do so. That won't change either. They'll still have the meetings to begin the register somebody for onboarding training and then assist individuals with check-in meetings or evaluation sessions in between the modules to reinforce the learning. So we're excited for that in the new year, and I'm sure we'll be back in touch with more details on that as we approach some future meetings. All right, just check in with Brittany and Catherine to make sure that I haven't missed any other questions that have submitted while I was responding to that.
No other questions in the chat.
Hi, Derek. Okay. No questions on the phones or by raising hands.
Excellent. Well, with that, let's proceed to the next slide, please, and we'll move to wrap up today's quarterly all EN call. All right, on this slide, we have some reminders about the next quarterly All-EN call. This will take place on Tuesday, March 18th, 2025 at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. As always, we encourage you to submit suggestions for All-EN calls. Please email those to enoperations@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. That helps us craft the agenda and informs information and topics that will be helpful to employment networks. We also would like to mention a few other events. As Jamie mentioned, tomorrow is the WISE webinar at November 20th, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Our focus is on Ticket to Work for America's Veterans with our guest speaker, Deborah Wagner from Cornell University, an expert in both ticket and veterans benefits. And so we encourage you to participate. And it's not too late. You can take our content that's through socials or through the website and share that with individuals that you think will benefit from attending. So if you can take a couple extra minutes, we thank you for helping spread awareness of that event. Then on December 18th, we'll have the final WISE webinar of the year. This one is Debunking the Biggest Myths About Ticket to Work. It's commonly one of the most well-attended sessions, and the team will be updating that content a little bit to ensure those folks who have experienced it will have some new content, but we'll also make sure that we debunk those common myths that need to be. For all of these events, you can access those on the Your Ticket to Work website. The 2024 calendar of events is under the Training and Events section. We also will note that the 2025 calendar of events is being finalized now with Ticket Program Manager Leadership and Social Security, and we anticipate that calendar being posted to ensure that all of you could look at the year ahead and be able to schedule accordingly. So we appreciate that. Of course, the summary or recap of this event along with the transcript will be available for you at that same training and events webpage for the All In Call content too. Please access that at your convenience. Last, you know, we do really appreciate your feedback and your recommendations. We do communicate important information and service providers through Gov delivery messages, including ticket portal issues and outages. We encourage you to get those communications by saving this email address so messages do not get into your spam folders or your junk email boxes. Again, that is tickettowork@subscriptions.ssa.gov. We want to ensure that you receive all of that information to assist in the work that you do. And with that, we thank you for joining today's quarterly All EN Call. We appreciate Renee, Danielle, Aaron, Anna, and Jamie's presentations, and we look forward to working with you all in 2025 in support of ticket holders on their employment journey. This ends today's All EN Call.